In the dynamic realm of product management, the concept of frameworks hold paramount significance. You're asked about them at interviews. You discuss them within your product teams. You use them very often. There's a reason why they are very important to product managers. Generally, frameworks provide the structure that underpins a lot of function and organization and efficient process. It's like a sturdy foundation for any building. They help to prevent chaos, reduce ambiguity, and expedite the process to get stuff done. However, like every powerful foundation, the effect of product framework lies in the proper implementation and use of the framework. Failing to harness them properly can lead to suboptimal results and, in many cases, achieving the exact opposite of what they were intended for in the first place. So in this video, I'm talking about frameworks and generally best practices that we should adopt to embrace the proper use of frameworks. At the end of this video, I'm going to share scenarios where frameworks may have gone wrong. So stick with me. Before we go into this, let's talk about frameworks, methodologies, and approaches. They are complicated. In some cases, they are misused or swapped for one another. But let's discuss what this means. Like I earlier mentioned, frameworks provide a structured outline or a set of guidelines that offer a very high-level structure for achieving a task. They don't necessarily describe details of how to execute the task, but they give you a thinking approach of organizing your work. They offer flexibility in how they can be adapted to give you a way to get started with what you want to get doing. We have examples of frameworks like Agile, Waterfall, Lean Startup, Design Thinking, and the likes. Methodologies are a bit more specific than frameworks. They provide a comprehensive structure of practices, processes, and techniques that help to achieve a goal. Methodologies are more detailed. They have steps, they have guidelines, they have rules. And in some cases, methodologies have certifications out there that people have to take to prove that they are expert or at least good at applying these methodologies. Examples are Six Sigma, Prince 2, PMP, or even Scrum. Approaches are a bit broader. They're like philosophies about how to tackle problems, which is also seen as a mindset or a perspective that shapes how you implement frameworks or methodologies. Examples include customer-centric approach, data-driven approach, iterative approach, and things like that. They are philosophies, they are mindsets, and they are principles that you think about and you adopt when you're using frameworks or methodologies. To summarize those three, frameworks offer a structure for tasks. Methodologies provide processes to achieve a goal. And approaches provide a mindset or perspective in how you apply frameworks and methodologies or how you solve problems generally. Now, I won't get hung up by these definitions. And I'll also not get hung up on using the right word each time. The categorizations sometimes might be blurry and some concepts might straddle the line between frameworks and methodologies or between methodologies and approaches or approaches and frameworks. The lines could be blurry sometimes. But the most important thing is understanding what each concept is about, the context in which they are used, and how they can help you achieve the results that you expect. Now that we've gotten the definitions out of the way, let's talk about some common frameworks, methodologies, or approaches that are out there. By the way, I'm going to be referring to everything in this video as frameworks for the sake of simplicity. We've all accepted that the lines between them might be blurred in many cases. One of the most common frameworks out there is the Agile framework, which is basically an iterative approach that promotes collaboration, flexibility, rapid adaptation, and changing requirements in software development. I'm going to be touching on three different kinds of Agile frameworks. One is the Scrum, which is an Agile framework that divides work into time-bound iterations that are called sprints with specific rules and ceremonies within that iteration that a team is expected to carry out in order to achieve the goals for that iteration. The next framework I'll give a quick definition on is the Kanban, also a framework within Agile. It's a visual system for managing work with tasks moving through different stages on a board in a cycle from backlog to done. The team picks up what is at the top of the backlog to get done. Another such frameworks is feature-driven development. It is a lightweight form of agile methodology for developing software that emphasizes on building features and incrementally based on users' needs. Now, Waterfall is a model that is quite on the extreme of agile, which is more of a sequential approach that is adopted where every phase must be completed before the next phase begins. It's in contrast to Scrum and agile, where you get to work with some uncertainties, but in this case, there must be some certainty around when a stage is completed and when the next stage is supposed to begin. Design thinking emphasizes empathic understanding of users to drive innovative problem solving. Looking at users going through some stages to understand and define their problems and use some design thinking approaches in order to arrive at innovative way to solve their problem. Lean methodology or lean framework applies the concept of building a quick minimum viable product, an MVP, very quickly within the shortest time frame you can, using that to validate that a solution addresses the problems that users have before you go into full development. Another popular framework that we use is called the state gate process, which involves dividing a project into distinct stages with gates, where those gates determine whether the project should proceed to the next stage or not. Also, we have PRINCE2, a structured project management methodology with defined roles, processes, and stages. In contrast to this, there is also PMP, which is Project Management Professional. They have different processes, methods to deliver on projects. Six Sigma methodology aims to minimize and detect errors and improve the quality and efficiency of software or anything that is being built by using data-driven methodologies. Rapid Application Development Framework highly focuses on rapid prototyping and iterative development. Feature Flags and Continuous Development Frameworks emphasizes frequent and automated releases of features in production instead of waiting, and possibility of using feature flags to enable or disable those features for users, toggle them on and off depending on how the team perceives that users will receive those features. Those are some common frameworks or methodologies that are out there, and this is definitely not an exhaustive list. I've given you a bit of description about what those frameworks are about. I've also linked them in the description below, so feel free to do some research and figure out which of these will be applicable within your team if you need to make some adjustments or changes to how you work. Why do we even suck at using product frameworks? As someone who has been in the software development space for over 10 years, managing and delivery of software products, I've had my fair share of failures at misusing product frameworks. And the common thing is using frameworks as a coping mechanism and not trusting myself enough. In contrast to what people think, the product world doesn't always come neatly packaged in a convenient acronym or framework. Chances are, more often than not, you're going to feel like everything you're doing is done wrong. In fact, in many cases, a lot of your impact will not be visible. And that is sort of the nature of product management. But our understanding is not so well grounded in many product managers that we begin to use frameworks as a coping mechanism to simulate output and good work. Frameworks are great. Thinking about the potential of what you feed into them or the output you can get could actually give you some excitement about the possibilities. You'll be shocked at how ambiguous frameworks could get if not well used. In many cases, this is what makes us suck at using product frameworks. What I would say to every product manager as we go into this is trust yourself, but avoid using product frameworks as a coping mechanism to simulate the feeling of doing a good job. Now, how not to suck at using product frameworks? The first thing is grasp the core and the essence of any framework beyond the superficiality. One of the most common missteps in the world of product management is dismissing certain frameworks without actually understanding comprehensively what their potential is and where they apply. Oftentimes, you find people criticize, say, waterfall methodology and discrediting them heavily for the apparent rigidity and lack of adaptability. Meanwhile, there is a time and a place where those product frameworks are applicable. If we do not understand what the core tenet of that framework is, it leads to either misuse or discrediting a framework where it should apply to your scenario. Similar to how a carpenter could dismiss a painter's brush simply because he does not understand the purpose of a painter's brush and does not apply to his job. But when the need calls for it, he'll be happy he has it. A very common pitfall is adopting a one-size-fits-all mentality in all situations. it can lead to inefficiencies and subpar outcomes. So there's this popular saying that if the only tool you have is a hammer, you tend to see every problem as a nail. Just in the carpenter analogy I gave earlier, you must choose the framework that is most suitable for the specific outcome they are trying to achieve. Many times, we don't even understand the outcomes that we're trying to achieve without the framework before we choose a framework. A product manager needs to understand the outcomes that you're trying to achieve outside of the framework or the tool before selecting the tool. You think agile methodology might be ideal, but what outcomes are you trying to get, or what are you expecting? What are the principles that need to be in place for the results that you're expecting before you decide to choose a framework or a methodology for your team? That it works in one team or in one organization does not mean it will be applicable to another team or another organization. The principles are different. The outcomes that you expect might be different. So a team might be very successful with agile because that is the outcome that works for that team and they expect, while another team might be more successful with waterfall and they still deliver great results. Nuance is relevant to adopting or leveraging the right frameworks. So while product frameworks provide structure and guidance, there might come a time where rigid adherence to those frameworks can hinder your outcomes rather than facilitating it. At that point, it becomes the wrong tool, even if it started off as the right tool. You can recognize the signs of diminishing returns as they begin to kick in. So when a product framework no longer aligns with the evolving needs and changes of a team or an organization, or at some point you figure out that it's starting to hinder creativity and flexibility, starting to impose unnecessary complexity that pretty much outweighs the benefits that you get, then it might be time to reevaluate the purpose of the framework at that point. And it's not that it wasn't the right choice from the beginning. It just means that the needs or the changes within the team has evolved beyond what the product framework, methodology, or approach can support. The ability to adapt and iterate and even disregard totally a methodology or a framework when it no longer serves the purpose demonstrates a nuanced understanding of the dynamic nature of your team and how you work and the commitment to actually achieving success without the framework or with the framework in question. Towards the end of this video, I'll give examples of where frameworks started to go wrong, which might have required stopping or adapting the use of that framework at that point. Sometimes we find that in consulting backgrounds, they often emphasize adherence to the frameworks so that they can guarantee the outcomes that you get when you use those frameworks. But it's also crucial to remember that frameworks are just a tool to serve an ultimate goal, which is addressing customer pain points and delivering value to users. If you stick to the frameworks and check all the boxes that the frameworks require, but don't reach the goal and the outcomes that you're expecting, that's not job well done. Maintaining a balance between adhering to frameworks and creative problem solving actually fosters agility and ultimate success of your team. If product frameworks provide the structure through which you think through things and achieve outcomes that will help you reach this goal, they should never overshadow the task of understanding customer pain points, adopting common sense and a logical approach in aligning the framework to the customer's needs. We find in many cases at product interviews and actual product roles where being methodical, structured, and thoughtful is a requirement. However, as the conversations go, it usually seems like overemphasizing the need for the product manager either being discussed with or at an interview to prove their understanding of frameworks more than anything else. Generic frameworks can aid in structured processes and decisions, but they do not necessarily replace the need for genuine thoughtfulness and common sense. So you find many interview candidates fall into the trap of mechanically applying frameworks at interviews and saying all the keywords that they know the interviewer would like to hear without actually addressing the question that has been posed to them, and sometimes lose the entire point because they lost focus of the problem that has been solved and they are focused on trying to show that they know how to apply or use those frameworks. So it underscores the necessity for thoughtful responses, thoughtful questions, logic that sometimes has nothing to do with the frameworks, and nuance to address the problem at hand. In fact, in many cases, you get to find out that there's a lot of groundwork and prep work that needs to have been done that ultimately serves as input into the framework in the way that you get the best results. So if some of those groundwork and thinking and conversations and logic and thoughtfulness and prep work has not been done before feeding all of that as input into the said framework or methodology, probably won't get the same results as someone that has done all of that work. So now that we've gone through all of that, let me give scenarios where product frameworks may have gone wrong and product managers that handles this situation probably should have reassessed the applicability of the product framework or totally disregard or at least inquire about why something may not help with how their teams use the product framework. The first is, if a team adopts agile methodologies but fails to hold the regular stand-up meetings, they don't prioritize the user stories effectively, they are probably not communicating as frequently as they need to, they are missing their deadlines consistently. In that scenario, I'll probably ask the product manager to lean back and really assess whether they are applying agile. Because the core tenets of agile requires this constant communication, time boxing, and having those opportunities for stand-ups and prioritizing. But if all of that is not done, there might be things that requires the team to reassess whether agile is for them or what they need to do to use agile well. Another scenario will be a Scrum team that is just focused on completing the Scrum ceremonies and stand-ups and retrospective. And not acknowledging, for example, taking the action points from those retrospectives and addressing the underlying challenges that the team is bringing up from, let's say, the retrospective. Maybe they don't need to have those retrospectives if they're not going to apply the action points, or inquire about why it's not important for them to apply the action points. Either cancel the retrospective and decide, well, those retrospectives are not valuable to us, or is there any reason why we're not taking action on these retrospective points? Are they beneficial to this team or not? Scenario three would be a Kanban team that has a Kanban board that is overloaded with too many tasks. And the team members still need to ask you as a product manager about which task they should pick up on the board. Then that might be Kanban done wrong, because the idea behind Kanban is to have a flow, a cycle, an understandable flow of tasks within the team, so that new work comes in, it gets prioritized, and the team picks what is at the top of the backlog. If a product manager or a team manager within a Kanban team often gets asked, which task should I pick up? Which task should I pick up? Then there might be some confusion about the process or the workflow that the team is seeing, or the task are not getting prioritized accordingly, or whatever priority is not well-defined within the team. If a Kanban board is overloaded with so many tasks, or a product manager could take off for a day or two and the team being confused about what is important, then that is Kanban not done well. It needs to figure out if Kanban is for them or if their workflow is actually more complicated than it needs to be. Another scenario, a team follows feature-driven delivery methodology, but we find that they are solely focused on delivering features, which is in the name, without considering the overall product vision, which eventually might lead to a disjointed user experience. Well, shipping features, some that have nothing to do with anything, some that are just nice to have features, but the focus is shipping features, then there is a problem. Either the product vision is not translating very well into the features that the team decides to ship, or there is an over-adherence to just shipping features, whether they deliver value to users or not. Remember that for feature-driven delivery, ultimately those features have to deliver value to users. We cannot go outside of the scope of what is relevant and valuable to users. And outside of what is defined or something that we can tie to the product vision, there needs to be a reassessment of how the features that are being shipped connects to the user's need or the product vision in a way that the same velocity with which the team is using to deliver features can be applied to deliver the right features. If we have a case where the team has chosen the waterfall framework and we find that the project or the product seems to have very dynamic, ever-changing, uncertain requirements that happens in the real world, this could lead to inflexibility and delay. This actually prohibits the core tenets of the waterfall framework, which requires one stage to be completed before the next stage, before the next stage. This is going to significantly cause delays between the stages. And that's because the project by itself or the product has very dynamic requirements or stakeholders that are not necessarily clear about what they want to do. So in this scenario, the product manager or the team probably needs to reassess if waterfall framework is the best in this environment where the requirements are ever changing or uncertain. Else, they will always be delayed and they will not be able to move forward. I have a scenario for design thinking framework. In this case, a team conducts user interviews, but we find that there is more discovery being done than delivery. The discovery, design thinking, and the outcomes never actively incorporate into insights that flow into the product development process. In this case, we're probably going to have a situation where we have solutions that lack user-centered designs, or we're just going to have a backlog of discoveries done without execution. If the design thinking does not necessarily follow the insights that gets developed, then what's the purpose of the design thinking sessions? And if there's a lot more design thinking sessions and insights that are done than the team can implement, there needs to be possibly a decision to pause or stop it all of the design thinking for the team to catch up. This scenario is for lean startup or lean development. So in this case, a team builds an MVP. They have a bunch of risks and hypotheses and assumptions that they need to validate with the MVP. But the MVP is released to a specific set of users, and those assumptions still remain as assumptions at the end of the delivery of the MVP. And it probably even fails to gain traction because it didn't really address the real pain points of users. In that case, the lean approach has probably not been applied well. Either they were working based on the wrong assumptions and the wrong hypotheses, or the MVP does not clearly create the scenarios where the assumptions and hypotheses would be validated. The MVP may not have been well built, or the MVP requirements were not clear enough. This is for PRINCE2 methodology. If you apply PRINCE2 to a very small, coincide, very fast-paced project, that could lead to excessive bureaucracy. Because PRINCE2 requires a lot of stages, a lot of documentation, a lot of checks. And for a very fast-paced project, the methodology may be trying to catch up with the speed of the delivery of the project, and it might eventually have to slow down the project with the excessive documentation, the people that need to pass a stage, that need to approve, and slow down progress significantly and create an unnecessary overhead. If you're in an environment where there are fast-paced projects and things get done very fast, people do not wait to do approvals and not necessarily sign documents, you might find that PRINCE2 is slowing down, and at that point, we need to think about wait. Is it helping us or is it just creating an unnecessary overhead? This scenario is for rapid application development where a team rushes through prototyping phase because rapid development without adequate validation of the results in the product that then lacks user satisfaction. This is similar to the lean approach as well, because if the focus is on rapid prototyping and rapid development and we forget what we are rapidly trying to validate and rapidly trying to build for, the point of rapidly developing fails to address the key pain points that the users have. In that scenario, one can say, well, the whole point of rapidly developing is to be able to have as many iterations as possible within a time frame, which might be correct. It still boils down to rapidly developing the right things for the right purpose. And in a similar vein, feature flags and continuous deployment framework without proper testing and monitoring, in this case, they tend to have a lot of bugs, a lot of downtime, so many untested areas of the product. This could ultimately impact the user experience and probably a reputational issue for the organization. So if a team continues to deploy very fast, but eventually the users are slowed down and they don't have a good experience and there are bugs and the application is just generally unusable, then what was the point of rapidly deploying if it's unusable? At this point, a team probably needs to slow down and introduce tests and checkpoints that make sure that rapid development leads to better outcomes and user experience. Here we go. Harnessing the power of frameworks is significant, but demands a balanced approach that sort of marries the structure with adaptability, the methodology with actual and genuine customer centricity and empathy. A product manager that is expected to be seen as mature and very very well grounded in their craft should be able to shun superficial judgments about frameworks and be selective about how they use frameworks, when they use frameworks, and innovate within the established confines of the product, and just maintain so much empathy for users and achieving business goals. It's important to be very thoughtful and methodical in when and how you apply these frameworks to your work, but remember that they're just a tool to leverage, to help, to get you started. They are not necessarily the outcome. Don't get carried away by these frameworks. Just use them, and if it doesn't work for you, adjust or drop them. I hope this was helpful to you. If it was, please share with your product manager friends, and I'll catch you in the next video.